So let's open the Word of God to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would bless the hearing and the speaking, that it'll be according to what you want to get across. Even, Father, take the words and tailor-make the message for each person listening. You know exactly what we need. And by your grace, you satisfy us. So speak through us and to us and help us, Father, to become people of gratitude. We thank you for all you've done for us and will do for us in Jesus' name. And therefore, we pray and ask these things be in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of Thanksgiving, how many days are there before Thanksgiving? I didn't count them up, but we're within a 2-week range of Thanksgiving, right? Somebody's out there with their calculators. Well, Pastor, I'll help you out here. Well, you can send it to the chat room if you know how many. My wife is whispering over. She's trying to count. Don't worry about whether you get it exactly, but you know we're in the Thanksgiving season. The leaves are falling from the trees. Mysteriously, pumpkins are finding their way on the table behind me, and gourds and harvest season of Thanksgiving. And so therefore, I'm going to be speaking the next 2 or 3 weeks on the subject of Thanksgiving, and another word for Thanksgiving is gratitude. And we are so blessed. And my purpose during this time is to help us make a shift. Help us to become people of thanksgiving and gratitude, and that it will be so much a part of us that we very much do away with grumbling and complaining. Because if you really look into the verses that I have read, and I hope as we go through it today, you will see that gratitude and thanksgiving, when you're filled with thanksgiving, you are a person who is grateful and a person who has so much gratitude, there's no room for complaining. In fact, I looked the other day, I try to monitor my blood pressure, and I was looking at an article from the Mayo Clinic, a renowned health institution. And they said, if you give thanks every day, you will lower your blood pressure. I said, wow, you don't have to take your medication. If your doctor tells you to take medication, take it. But what I'm saying is, they even recognize that a person's life that was saturated and filled with thanksgiving and gratitude, their blood pressure, their overall health was affected. So do yourself a favor. I heard another physician said, in doing yourself a favor, before you go to bed at night, find at least 5 things to be thankful for. My wife and I have tried to practice that. And when we get up in the morning, also find five things that you are grateful for. It is very, very important. Notice in Ephesians 5, before I get there, I want to mention this. I want to give you a definition of gratitude and thanksgiving. What is it? Well, gratitude or thanksgiving is the divinely given spiritual ability to see grace. We sang the song about your grace finds me. And we're able to recognize by a gift of God a divinely spiritual abilities to see God's goodness. That's what grace is. the ability to see the goodness of God and the corresponding desire to affirm that God is good and that he is the giver of everything. Imagine that. He is the giver of everything. You know, in ancient times, people who were Christians and non-Christians even recognized that everything good, and in fact, everything period, came from God. I think in our modern times, we've lost the awe and the wonder of the goodness of God. I want to read something to you from Acts, the 17th chapter. And Paul is in Athens, in a Greek culture. And they did not necessarily worship God, except for those who were converted. They worship idols and so forth, but they knew there was a God. In verse 24, Paul wrote, "The God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth and does not have to live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands." You realize sometimes I think innocently we say, well, I want to serve the Lord. What can I do for the Lord? You know what the Lord says? What Paul wrote, "And he is not served by human hands." Wow. It is not what we do for God. It is what God does for us. He goes on to say, "As if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath." You realize you breathe over 20,000 times a day. It's God who gives you that. So we're looking at what gratitude is. It's that divinely given spiritual ability to see grace. In the ancient world, as I said, even pagans saw the grace of God, that it was God who was giving them breath. That's why he could write this and talk that way while he was in Greece. And that he didn't need anything from us. He himself gives. It's his grace to all men. Life and death, and every life and breath. Yes, he even gives us death. That was a slip, but it's true. Life and breath and everything else. Do we recognize that everything around us, everything in us, every cell that reproduces in our bodies is the grace of God? Verse 26. "From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live." That's what God has done. He's given us everything. And we need to pray and ask God to give us that divine ability to see and to desire to affirm that. The affirmation of God's grace is called thanksgiving or gratitude. Three key words today: grace, thanksgiving, and joy or rejoicing. Thanks, grace. First of all, grace to see what God has done, then thanksgiving, and then an affirmation of that, which is called joy or thanksgiving as well. It is very, very important to see the goodness of God and to affirm it. I was thinking this morning as I was working on the sermon, actually last night, of a dear sister in Christ that we had the honor and privilege of serving as her pastor back in Brooklyn, New York. Her name was Joan Brown. And what I most admired and remember about her, we talked to her about this or that, or she'll talk to us about this or that. And she said, "But you know, that's a blessing." I don't mean to mock her if some of her children are listening today, but that's the way she talked, very expressively. That's a blessing. Do we see everything in our lives as a blessing? You know, I'd like to be more like Joan. I need to be more like her. It is the Spirit of God. It is the gift of God to be gracious and thankful. It reminds me of a story about a man who liked to affirm the goodness of God. His name was Shouting John. That was his nickname. That's what they called him. I know some of you have probably heard of Shouting John. Well, you see, John joined this very uppity church, as they would say, a very sophisticated church, a lot of professors and doctors, and they were very reserved people. But when John joined that church, he upset a few people because John would affirm and think about God's grace and his goodness to him, and he began to shout and he began to dance. So the deacons went over and they grabbed his legs so he couldn't dance. And then he'd be flapping his arm, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The pastor said, y'all, we got to do something about this. And so during the week, deacons got in their car and they drove out in the country. And they drove up this country road to John's farm. John saw him coming. He saw the dust. He saw him coming. He said, I know why y'all are here. Y'all came out here because you don't like that I dance in church and shout in church and praise the Lord in church. He said, I'll tell you something. You drove up this road. You see all this land around us here? That came from God. God blessed me with this land. You see all those crops out in the field. That's a blessing of God. You see me, I'm 86 years old and I'm still walking behind the mule plowing. I can harvest my own crops. I said, I've got children, lots of children. God's blessed us with lots of children. And I haven't been to the courthouse with near one of them. And he said, I understand you don't want me to shout in your church, but hey, hold my mule. Hold the reins to my mule. And John began to kick up the dust, kicking up his legs, shouting, praising God, affirming the goodness of God. See, John knew and understood what thanksgiving and gratitude was all about. He saw the goodness of God, and God gave him the grace to affirm it. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to dance and shout and so forth, you know, but God is good. And we need to express it. We need to affirm it. And if we don't, that's our choice. It's our choice. If you want, you know, I'm not that kind of person, you know. It's probably, we're all different, all right? But in some way, we need to daily and hourly, and every time we get a chance, praise the Lord. We need to thank the Lord for his goodness. You know, we sang the song, Your Grace Finds Me. It says, it's there in the newborn cry. Right there is a blessing. Right there is God's grace to hear that baby crying. It talks about in the shadows of this life, your great grace. There on the mountaintop, there in every day in the mundane, there in the sorrow. Yes, even the sorrow. Even the sorrow is God's grace. It's God's gift because he uses everything. Your great grace, it says, oh, such grace, from the creation to the cross, there, from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Your grace finds me. It is there on the wedding day. We can say hallelujah to that, but it's there also on the weeping by the graveside. Ah, there's grace there. There is in the very breath we breathe, your great grace. And I want to encourage us to make this a way of life. That's my whole purpose today, is to make a change in me and hopefully inspire a change in you as we ask God to give us a heart of thanksgiving and that we see his goodness and his grace in everything. Gratitude is a life-pivoting, life-turning activity. Like I said, you don't have to give thanks to God, but he tells you to. And it's up to you if you do not. But you may choose not to give thanks or to give, right? But we cannot choose the consequences that follow from each choice. If you choose to praise God, give thanks, there's going to come a blessing. Your health will be touched by it. Your whole mindset will change. You will see the goodness of God in everything. You can't choose the consequences if you choose not to praise God. If you choose not to give him thanks, you can't choose the consequences to that. Because some of the consequences is bitterness. And yes, even poor health. I don't want to be a bitter person. I don't want to be a bitter old man. There's nothing worse. My folks used to say, and if your folks didn't think, talk like this, but my folks talk like this. They used to say, you know, it ain't no fool like an old fool. Anybody ever hear that term? I don't want to be an old fool. I think it's wisdom in giving thanks to God. I believe that, as one theologian said, that thanksgiving is the ascent to heaven. It is the steps to the throne of God. God indwells, one scripture says, the praises and the thankfulness and the gratitude of his people. Grumbling and complaining is the descent to hell. You never see the devil praising God, but you see his people doing it. And you look in heaven and you see the living creatures, the angels, they're praising, they're giving thanks to God. Therefore, I encourage you to choose gratitude, thanksgiving, and experience the joy of the Lord. So what's my message today? Before I give you that message, I want to come back to Ephesians 5. I'm telling you what I want to do. I'm praying that God will change our hearts and make us people of gratitude. I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Do not be drunk with wine. Isn't it interesting how Paul talks about wine? There's something that wine or alcohol does. Even in Scripture it says, Ecclesiastes, I think it's Ecclesiastes or Psalm, that wine makes the heart merry. Maybe that's why the blood pressure goes down. But what he says is, as well, do not get drunk. Don't overdrink, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So there is, when we are filled with the Spirit, there is a joy. There's an emotional response. A rejoicing. Just like when someone takes a toast and they have a drink or whatever, there's a joy there. Here's to you, they say, or whatever. It says, speak to one another. Be filled with the Spirit. Thanksgiving, gratitude is a divinely given holy work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Pray and ask God, Father, stir up the Holy Spirit in me. Give me that new life of the Spirit so that I can divinely discern through the Holy Spirit your goodness and the goodness of your gifts that you give us. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We sang that song, I Shall Not Want, which is a derivative of the 23rd Psalm that Deacon Dennis read. And you saw the people singing and dancing and jumping. Why? Because they realized that God is good. He said, even in the valley of the shadow, God is there. Because I've seen the light of God in the shadow. So even there, I can shout and I can sing. Because God is good. And it says here, make music in your heart to the Lord. Always, notice, always giving thanks. Always giving thanks. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Says, in all circumstances, give thanks. All circumstances. Whether it's the wedding day or the graveside. This is that song we just listened to, I Shall Not Want, that is not over. That God's got a mansion waiting for me, and he's going to meet me there. I believe that. In my Father's house are many mansions. Always giving thanks. Whether it's Thanksgiving season or whatever. It's a way of life. And he goes on to say, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. For that bad health report. For death of a loved one. Very, very difficult things. A loss of health, job. Everything. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything. When you, like Job, lose all your family, all your riches, all your land, all your possessions, what did Job say? Well, wait till next week. I'll get into that. And I'm going to give you the answer to this next week. In everything, really? Maybe it's just as Paul wrote in First Thessalonians chapter 5:18, maybe it's just in the circumstances, but surely not for bad times and bad things. To give God thanks for that? Wait till next week. I simply said what the scripture says. For everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what gratitude is all about. In everything. I'm not going to tell you what this message is about till the end of the sermon. But for everything, the heart of thanksgiving is seeing the grace of God in everything. Giving thanks in everything and responding and affirming that God is good. And the gift that he has given me is good because I see the grace there. That he gives everything to us. I want us to look at and get a greater vision of gratitude. And I want to do a little word study. And I am not a good linguist. But bear with me. In our culture today, and in Spain and Mexico and other Latin countries, when we express thanks, we say gracias, right? That comes from Latin, which there's Greek involved in these cultures. Let's look at the word. The word for gratitude or thanksgiving or giving thanks, the Greek word is eucharistio. I'll spell it for you. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-O. Just do a word search on giving thanks or thanksgiving and just put in the Greek word and you'll get it. But actually this one word is a conversation in itself. This one word has actually three meanings or three parts of meaning in it. The whole word, eucharistio, means to give thanks. That's the root word. No, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. I'm not good at this, okay? I put it this way. The root word of eucharistio is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, meaning grace. So that when we say thank you or we give thanks, the root of all that word is C-H-A-R-I-S, charis, meaning grace. And a spiritual interpretation that God has given us grace, a divine ability to see that God is good and what he has given us is good. Grace. Everything that we have has come from God. In fact, in another place in 1 Corinthians, he said, everything you have, what do you have that you have not received? I want you to think about that for a moment. What is it that you did not receive. If you inherited something, it's something that your folks or grandfolks left you. And who gave it to them? Whether it's your breath of air, the ability to see, the beat of your heart, all of that is a gift. And to see that is a grace that God must give us to see his grace. Isn't that interesting? That we cannot do it ourselves. Grace is everything. This whole world exists. People living in different parts of the world. Everything. The leaves, the fruit, the water, the air is all grace. Many years ago, someone directed me, commanded me to stop preaching about grace. I said, I cannot do that because grace is everything. Everything. And when you realize that everything is a gift to you, from what is in your eyes, the smallest to the greatest, it changes your whole mindset. Grace, charis. Let's go further. This word, euachristo, thanksgiving, envelops the Greek word for grace, charis. But it also holds its derivative, the Greek word para, C-H-A-R-A, meaning joy. So we have thanksgiving, we have grace, and we have joy. That's that affirmation and expression and the giving back to God glory, not doing something for God, but just thanking God for what he has done for us. God doesn't need anything from us. We need him. That's the way grace goes. God gives grace to the humble. And I believe a facet of humility is that we are nothing, have nothing, can do nothing without him. And I believe that to the degree we see that we are unworthy. Paul said, I'm not even worthy. I'm the worst of sinners. But God gave me grace. To the degree you see you are nothingness, is the degree you can see him. Because God resists the proud. Hey, I'm all of this. I'm all of that. Shouting John wasn't putting on airs. Shouting John looked around and saw the land, saw his crops, saw his health at 86, saw his children. And he said, I can't help but praise the Lord. Hold my mule. Whatever you need to hold or let somebody else hold, praise the Lord. Give him thanks for all that he has done for us. I want to conclude with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I quoted it, but I did not read it. I want to read that. I want us to get this coming from all over the Bible, from the book of Acts, from the book of Ephesians. The same man who wrote Ephesians wrote Thessalonians, chapter 5, and in verse 6. This is what he says. Be joyful sometimes, but I don't feel like it today. I'm just down in the dumps. They call it stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just the same. Lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Recognize him, that he made heaven and earth. He made you and even the stuff we're going through. Be joyful always. Isn't that powerful? Pray continually. God, I don't feel it. But you know what? Feelings follow thoughts. Think the truth. Think that God made all things and supplies everything. He made us and he sustains us. He created us and he continues to take care of us. Even you can look out of your window and see the birds, how God feeds them. As Jesus said over in Matthew, aren't you of greater value than sparrows? You see, that thought produces a feeling. I'll say it again. Our feelings follow our thoughts. And I've given you things to think about today. About God's goodness. About needing His grace to see it. Pray and ask God, Father, I don't feel it. You want me to just fake it till I feel it? No, He wants you to cry out to Him. Pray, Father, help me. Give me the grace to see that You are good and the gifts that You give me are good. Be joyful always. How? First, pray. Pray continually. Read the scriptures about what God has done for you. The Old Testament is there as a history to see God's resume. His resume of how He delivered Israel, how He fought their battles. We saw some of that as we've gone through spiritual warfare. Believe it or not, I think thanking God is a part of spiritual warfare. If you are attacked emotionally, mentally, start praising God for what He has done. Not what He hasn't done. Not what you need, but what He has given you. Even if you don't think He's given you much, thank Him for that little bit. Again, feelings follow thoughts. Pray, He says. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Ask God, give me that heart. Give me that grace, that ability to see You as good. And what I'm going through is good. And thank Him. Express it. Affirm it. Thank Him. And then you have joy. Chara, C-H-A-R-A. Joy. And rejoice. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not, verse 19, put out the Spirit's fire. We read over there in Ephesians 5, verse 18. He talks about being filled with the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. You know how you put out the Spirit's fire? By doubting God. Holy Spirit. The Son and the Father are God. Bitterness. In Ephesians, I think it's 5 as well. It says, get rid of all bitterness. You know how you get bitter? By dwelling on your circumstances rather than giving thanks in your circumstances. By dwelling on what you don't have. By dwelling on how we've been treated. Listen, I have been to hell and back. Okay, so we were. Remember I said that praise, thanksgiving is the ascent, the stairway to heaven and the throne of God. Complaining, dwelling on the negative and what's wrong and what's not right. Yes, my wife. She's always shaking her head. Sometimes I can be a crybaby, all right? She still loves me. But I know it's what it's like to just dwell on the negative. And the enemy comes in and continues to replay. Yeah, this is wrong and that's wrong. They should have done this to you. Da, 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 da. Hey, that's not it. God has called us to climb higher. And that is by His Spirit of praise and thanksgiving. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Blah, 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 blah. I don't mean to make fun when I say blah, 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 blah. But I mean, it goes on and on and on. May God Himself, verse 23, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and your whole spirit, your whole soul, and even your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Trust Him to make that change in your life, to make you a person of thanksgiving. So what was my point today? Well, there were three key things, three key words that I want us to remember. Grace, thanksgiving, joy. And those all work in dynamic with one another. But if I had to summarize what we've read today in Ephesians 5:18, over in Thessalonians. This is the message I want you to take home with you today. By grace, not by your own strength, but by grace, give thanks to God and rejoice in Him and His gifts always and for everything. I'm going to read it again. By grace, give thanks to God and rejoice in Him and His gifts always and for everything. Amen. Father, as I said, by grace, we need your grace to be grateful people. I need it, Lord. The old song says, if we ever needed the Lord before, we're showing up, we need Him now. Everything that's going wrong in our world, politically, health-wise, all kinds of ways, we need you. We ask you to change our hearts and give us hearts of thanksgiving. Open our eyes to see the grace that's all around us, the goodness of God. Do that, Father. We can't do it ourselves. We need that divine gift from you to see. And it comes by your grace. So have mercy on us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 26, we see the scene of grace. That's right. Here we see in Matthew 26, verse 26, we see the Eucharisto, the Eucharistio. In fact, for centuries, in certain denominations, they have not called it the Lord's Supper, but rightly so, called it the Eucharistio, the Thanksgiving. And it was called the Thanksgiving because that is what predominated Jesus' life, His meaning for coming, and what it would do for us. It was an act of grace for Him to leave aside all of His powers and all of His glory and came humbly to die for us. The whole thing is a Eucharistio. It says in verse 26 of chapter 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and He Eucharistio. He gave Eucharist. He gave thanks. Imagine you're about to die. And you are about to be the gift. Your very life, the gift. And to be tortured. And then to be hung on a cross. You are that gift. You are that Eucharist. And He gave thanks as He held that bread and held that cup. He was giving thanks, knowing that was Him that is to suffer and to die. And I know that He had joy. For it says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that He had before Him, He endured the cross. We'll talk more about that next week. It was a gift He was given. And it was a joy that He was experiencing being crucified. That's the power of thanksgiving. That's the transformation. Here He is giving His life. And it's the grace that's going to transform the whole world. And He served God out of joy. No one could say, could they, in their right mind, that a crucifixion, the most horrible and most torturous way for a person to die in that time, no one could say that's a gift. No one could tell Him, be thankful in everything and for everything. Could they? I think that Jesus knew that. And he knew to be thankful for the torture, for the nails, for the piercing of his side. For he knew what it was going to bring for us. He knew it would be grace. Thanksgiving. Not that he didn't suffer. He did. That was part of it. Not that he was not in agony in the garden. He said, not my will, Father. Yours be done. And then on the cross, he said, it is finished. And he gave up the Spirit and went back to the Father. And for that moment, before he died, all of our sins were placed on him. The horror of that. And for a moment, the Father turned his face away from his Son. That was good. That was a blessing. And because he was giving, there was a joy unspeakable. Therefore, it is said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew the joy that would be for him and for the whole world, all believers. Even unbelievers are blessed because of Jesus. Not from a salvation point of view, but a common grace is over all of the universe. A common grace of God's goodness is experienced by everyone, good and bad. Salvation for those who believe, but grace for everybody. The goodness of God, even their breath, is a blessing. See, that's why as we eat and drink, I want us to focus on this Thanksgiving, this Eucharistio we're experiencing, the chara or the joy. Say someone's charismatic, that means that they have a joyful, pleasing way. We should all be charismatic. That there's a pleasantness about us. Why? Because of him who lives in us and the joy that is in us through the grace of God. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood. That cup of wine. Type of being filled with the Holy Spirit. As we saw over in Ephesians, actually 1 Thessalonians 5. This is the blood of the covenant, that this is guaranteed. Imagine that. If you believe that Jesus Christ came and died for you, was raised for you, and you find that he is the epitome of not just salvation, but the fulfillment of all your joy and all you need. And you're filled with him because you've tasted and you've seen that he is good. Then this is for us. This joy, this Eucharist, this Thanksgiving is shed for you. And there's a covenant behind it. It's guaranteed. It is already in Jesus' name and will be in the future. Which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And watch this. I tell you, I will not drink this again, not of the fruit of the vine, from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they sang praise. There was a joy there. Yes, the sadness was there, but the joy overwhelmed everything. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for the body of Christ, and we ask that you would bless this bread as we eat it, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we experience that you are good, that you are great. You know, Father, we pray over our meals and we thank you for you give us. And we say we are saying grace. But it's because of your grace that we have anything. Therefore, we thank you even for this morsel of bread that is a type and a picture and a reality in heaven, Jesus, your body. Let us feed on your body and be strengthened from it spiritually. And we ask it in Jesus' name. We also, Father, ask that you would bless this wine, the blood of Christ that guarantees the covenant, that guarantees our joy. Let us be filled with your Spirit. Let us see your goodness and your great grace in everything we see and everything we do, and that we would respond, have a joyous response, an emotionally charged response at your goodness to us in all circumstances and for everything. We ask this of you, Father, as you ask you to bless this wine. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, brothers and sisters, let's listen to and sing. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood.
Was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul for the first time I. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again.